want to spend a few minutes today on a subject closer to home and, judging by our Facebook page, close to many a parent's heart. It's virtual schooling, not traditional homeschooling with parents, but a school run by teachers over the internet. Laura Bocas wrote to ask, how do kids get to socialize? Isn't that as important as math and literature? Elizabeth McConnell Sutton, though, is curious. She said her family is seriously considering an online academy for high school. And Lisa Jennings has mixed feelings. She writes, maybe there is a place for this. I noticed Weymouth High School in our area, she's from Massachusetts, is offering a virtual high school course next year as part of their self-initiated learning opportunities. I'm looking forward to hearing more. All right, let's do that. About 200,000 kindergarten through 12th grade students go to virtual schools. Public school districts and charter schools are starting virtual academies, and companies that create the curriculums are growing about 30% a year. The schools are fully accredited, and students go on to brick-and-mortar colleges. In a minute, we'll speak with the founder of the largest producer of online curriculum for elementary and secondary schools. But first, 16-year-old Isaiah Green. He lives in a suburb of Cleveland, is a high school junior enrolled in Ohio Virtual Academy, his school, since seventh grade. Isaiah, how does it work?
Well, what I do is I come in and I log into the school, and it brings up all your courses, and it shows what you need to have done for the day. I go to each course, and I write down the amount of time I try to spend, at least an hour in every class.
Well, now, your mom isn't, as we said, this isn't homeschooling, so your mom's not sitting there watching you. How does anyone know you're really doing the work?
Because the teachers, they can see what time you log into the course, what time you exit the course, how much work you have done, and my mother can go back and check.
Well, so you're doing this work, and we understand you have algebra, business and communications, American literature, global economics, earth science. Who's teaching you?
Technically, the computer is teaching me, but the teachers do have Class Connects at least once a week. It's a link that the teachers send to you, and you open the link, and it opens a classroom, and it has the teacher and all the other students. And I say it's like Skype because some of the teachers have video cams, and you can actually view them when they're teaching the class. Some Class Connects have up to 100 students, and you can actually call your teachers when you don't understand things. You can call them or meet with them on another class.
So the teachers are available to you if you want them. What about writing? Writing papers, for instance, do you do that as well?
I think we do more writing in the online school than in the public schooling because we're always on the computer and we always have to write something every day.
Well, but what about, you know, what's called the Socratic method? What about the thing that happens in classrooms when people start talking and, you know, the teacher will say something and provoke a debate or a discussion about it? How do you get that?
There's IM chat where every student can chat to the teacher and to all the other students. So the teachers do have debates where they make the students discuss different things. And we also have discussions on classes that we have to do where some teachers ask a couple different questions and we would have to write our answer and go back and respond to two different peers. Another thing that we have in our school is called the Big Think, where students can go on and do discussions about what's going on in the school, how they like different things.
What about field trips?
We have so many field trips. We have so many opportunities to meet with other teachers, meet with students.
Well, why did you choose this? What made you want to go to a virtual school instead of a brick-and-mortar?
Well, in the brick-and-mortar school, I would always get bad grades. I was always a CDF student, and it really wasn't helping, and the teachers didn't take the time that I needed to be able to understand. They wouldn't help me. They would just push me on. We decided to put me in the homeschooling and instead of the public schooling, and right when we started, I started bringing up my grades to A's and B's.
And when you say homeschooling, again, you mean the virtual schooling, you know, because it's
right.
Not your mom teaching, it's this curriculum. Good for you, you know, for bringing your grades up, but did you ever find out why you weren't able to, you know, get it in school?
I think for me, the teachers didn't take the one-on-one time that each student needs. Because I know when I talk to my teachers, they actually take time out of their day to go one-on-one with me to help me understand and also just the stress and all the different things of a huge classroom. sitting together, and on the computer, you can't see all the other students.
How do you feel about yourself now?
I feel great. I have made more friends in this school than I have made in the brick-and-mortar school.
But do you miss the sort of jostling down the hall and maybe there's someone you have a crush on and you see them? I mean, all that stuff that's just the extra stuff about being in school. I mean, cheering for a team or being part of a school newspaper, those things.
I don't miss the running down the hall and anything like that. And we have our own school newspaper. We have everything that a brick-and-mortar school would have, except it's just all online. Yeah. We have a student council. We have different sport teams. I know they have a golf team. I think there's a soccer team.
But is it virtual? I'm trying to, is it like a video game? How does?
No, they meet, different people meet up at a certain spot, and they kick the ball around and play. Now, the chess is virtual.
Are you ever lonely?
No, I'm not. I have friends I get to talk to. My mom is always home. She's watching the kids, so I can talk to her throughout the day.
That's Isaiah Green. Again, he lives in a suburb of Cleveland and is a junior at Ohio Virtual Academy. Isaiah, thank you and best to you.
All right, thank you.
The company K-12 is the largest producer of online curriculum for kindergarten through 12th grade. It's a company that started 10 years ago and now boasts 170,000 kids using the curriculum in 27 states and 60 countries, 82,000 of them in full-time virtual schooling. Some educators, including Mitchell Chester, the education commissioner here in Massachusetts, worry about the lack of face-to-face interaction. He says education is inherently a social enterprise. Well, let's ask Ron Packard. He's the founder and CEO of K-12. Ron, are you at all concerned about that?
No, I'm not, because I think we'll go through a great effort to increase the socialization for the kids. And most of the kids are in our program are very active in other social activities, whether it be things like Little League baseball, ballet, church groups, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. So, in my 10 years and all the hundreds of thousands of kids, I've never met anybody who, was doing this trying to avoid socialization. In fact, it's the opposite. People want the best education. It's also important to remember this is a choice, right? Families make this choice, and they believe it's the best option for them. And, we don't expect every child to be in a virtual school, but for those families that it's right for, it's incredibly right for. I might want to add that we had a study done by university professors who looked at the socialization of these kids and found they were every bit as socialized as the children in brick-and-mortar counterparts.
Do kids ever get lonely, though, for other kids, for that kind of, back of the room, smack somebody with an eraser?
Yeah, I'm sure some kids do, and that's why, 100% of the kids aren't in virtual schools and probably never will be. But there are a lot of kids who like the ability to learn online. Think about the other problem where you're sitting in a classroom and the teacher's either going too slow for you and you're bored, or the teacher's going too fast for you and you can't grasp it.
Well, and as we just heard, these kids who are, sitting at a computer at home can interact over that computer with a teacher and also does have, as we said, face-to-face with the teacher. But what about oversight? As Isaiah just told us, he's constantly, filling out tests. His mom checks. She's home. But are there concerns about that?
No, I think it's, the opposite in the sense that the software that they use allows us to watch progress on a daily basis. So every lesson we have is mastery-based. So we know that child has opened the lesson, done it. Additionally, they're having significant interaction with state-certified teachers. And we now have data that shows the kids are learning more than 1 year for every year they're with us. So they're gaining progress the longer they stay in the school.
Well, and what about the question that's also raised with charter schools, that virtual online schools siphon kids and also the state dollars that go to them away from sometimes struggling brick-and-mortar schools? For instance, I'm reading in Christian Science Monitor about in Wisconsin where, kids can, be sitting in one town and go to a virtual school that's run by a district in another town. They contract with you. And that means not just that that's one less kid in that school, but also the state money that would go to that district with that child now goes to the district running the virtual school. Some of that money goes to your company for, helping them run this program.
Well, I think, there's a couple important points here. In general, there's a concept that the money should follow the child, and wherever that child is going to get the best education for them, the money should flow.
That's the argument, that's the way it should work.
But it'd be hard to make any other argument, because if you want to argue that the money is not that of the child and belongs to the district, and that you'd actually have a district that wasn't offering programs kids want and they would get the money regardless, that's how you end up with an education system that doesn't work.
Yeah, of course, some people would say that, you know, if the money stayed in the district, then there would be more money for the district to actually correct any problems that it had. But I hear what you're saying as well. Do you worry about what they describe in Wisconsin, which is such competition for these kids that, you know, families are getting marketing blitzes to lure them to 3 virtual schools in Wisconsin competing for students?
I think that's fabulous. In the history of mankind, I can't think of a single example where competition has done anything but give the customer a much better product.
And I guess, and again, this is the same debate that takes place about charter schools, that the thinking is, you know, why should there be any taxpayer money going in any way to a for-profit company like yourself? I know that there are nonprofits that implement your teaching work, but it's still, there is some money going to a for-profit along the way.
And by the way, there is in traditional public schools, as money goes to buy computers from Apple and buy software and textbooks and a whole series of things.
Well, tell us more about how it works. For instance, who designs the courses?
We have teams of experts, you know, that include teachers who have taught the subject at the grade level in a classroom. We have college professors who are content experts, and we have instructional designers who lay out the structure of the course. We have media and flash people who do all the images, animations, interactive games. And it's, you know, it's a team of about 10 to 15 editors, writers that build these courses, and they're the best at what they do. We literally spend tens of millions of dollars every year building courses to give the children the best experience possible.
And what are some of the courses themselves?
We literally have every lesson in every day from kindergarten through 12th grade. We do all the foreign languages, AP courses, honors courses, science, art, music, every course you would need for a K-12 education and then some. I mean, our high school now offers over 200 different courses.
Tell us some of the things that the students in virtual schooling can do to overcome the lack of, you know, debate, critical thinking you're pushed to do when you have, you know, people who are sitting there right in front of you challenging your thinking, you know, proms.
So I'm glad you asked that, because first of all, in middle school and high school, we have online discussion groups with multiple kids that are absolutely designed to encourage that group interaction. We have a lot of collaborative learning projects, so they're working, and we encourage kids to follow their passion and get involved with activities. You know, we run Spanish clubs and French clubs that are across the whole nation, and our schools have proms. We literally have hundreds of kids that come from all over the state to attend proms. And by the way, a lot of our kids play on their brick-and-mortar school teams near them, which they're allowed to do in most states.
That's Ron Packard, founder and CEO of K-12, the largest producer of online kindergarten to 12th grade curriculums. Ron, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.